Welcome back. It is the Daily Tip on a BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday. Coming up, two docuseries enter the ring. Only one emerges victorious. Can't wait for that. But I did want to touch on this because I thought this was a great story. And U.S. Open underway, Flushing Meadows. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, tennis. A little tennis talk. And I know some of the players were not happy that the tournament started on Sunday. But Venus Williams is competing. Now, she's 45 years old. She's past her prime, fine. But she is the oldest singles player at Flushing Meadows since 1981. She lost last night to Karolina Muchova at the Open 6-3, 2-6, 6-1. But just competing is something she felt very strongly about doing.
Yeah, my team and I, we worked as hard and as fast as we could. Like, we literally took no days off. I haven't gone to dinner. I haven't seen friends. I haven't done anything except train for 3 months as hard as I could. And then from each match that I didn't win, then I tried to go back and learn from that and then get better. Oh, what did I prove to myself? I think for me, getting back on the court was about giving myself a chance to play more healthy. And when you play unhealthy, it's in your mind. It's not just how you feel. You get stuck in your mind, too. So, it was nice to be freer.
I love that quote. Thank you, Double D, for finding that, because you could kind of hear her welling up there at the end. And look, Venus battled a lot of injuries during her career, still a 7-time Grand Slam champion. But I appreciate the fact that she's doing this now. I mean, of course, she's a competitor, but it's more about, hey, I feel good and I want to continue doing something that I love. And she got a lot of love last night in Flushing Meadows. So even in a loss, I thought this was pretty remarkable.
I thought that was a fascinating window into injuries for athletes. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of us sit around, and I've had this thought before, especially with people who play on team sports. The guys who get hurt and just sit around and collect a paycheck. You're like, oh, must be nice. I think I'm going to push Jake down the stairs so he can just be home all the time and never play and still earn some money. And Jake's like, hell no. This is absolute hell for athletes. Having to do rehab every single day and never getting to participate. Like, I understand tennis is different because that's not the way their contracts work. It's individual, and if you don't pay, you don't get played. But he has told me that it is such a mental thing for athletes, mm-hmm. where it starts with the questions in your brain saying, can I ever get back to where I was? Will I ever be a great athlete again? Was I never good in the first place? So I think it's one of those things that, like, the mental toughness that people do not realize what it takes to get through major injuries for some of these athletes, especially if you're sitting on top of the mountain, you're thinking, how do I ever get back?
Yeah. And if you're someone who can compete at the highest level, I can't even mm-hmm. imagine how much more frustrating that would be. Because at the end of the day, when you strip away the accolades and when you strip away the spotlight or the Grand Slam championships, it's like, I love this game. I fell in love with this. I want to play this game, and I'm great at it, and I love it, and I put in the work. I just want to play. So I can't imagine that mental grind of being out there and knowing, okay, I'm going to do my best, but also I feel about 75% or not being able to get out there at all. And I think Venus kind of gave us a perfect window into that, which is, man, for so long I was just struggling, and just to be out there and just to soak it in and feel good when I'm doing it is something mm-hmm. that she hasn't experienced, I think, in a long, long time.
Yeah, and also I think it's difficult for athletes who try to push through injuries, because mm-hmm. it is difficult, because only you know how much pain you're feeling. And we've seen athletes really derail their careers by trying to play through injuries. I feel like this happens with quarterbacks a lot. Like, mm-hmm. remember those years, I think Baker Mayfield did this, where he said, like, after the season, that, like, he was really hurt, but he wanted to push through it, and he put up all these terrible numbers. And now, like, he's back healthy, and he's back putting up good numbers. I think this is the case with Trevor Lawrence as well. Like people said all last year that he was not playing 100%. And sometimes that can damage your legacy, you know, your future contracts. But it is a very difficult thing for injuries, difficult thing for athletes to manage when it comes to injuries, when it comes to contracts. And just a tip of the cap to Venus Williams here, because it was a great moment. I saw where they also honored Maria Sharapova as well. So it was like a nice blast from the past with all like the big names. And I don't want to say it was like the golden age of tennis, but maybe it's just like nostalgia for me. Like, do you think that was the golden age of tennis, or do you think it was another time?
That's a good question. I think it's maybe a little of both, because I think tennis captured our imagination a little bit more. But also, I think it's because there was more of an American presence in tennis, if we're being honest, right? Mm-hmm. Like when Francis Tiafoe does well, we pay more attention. Or Madison Keys performs well, we pay a little more attention, or something like that. But, you know, when it's... I mean, we've had some of the best tennis we've ever seen with it, Federer, or it could be Djokovic or Rafa, and those guys have elevated the game, but there's just something that means a little bit more when there's Americans involved, and certainly when Venus and Serena Williams were there, it was just, you know, incredible. So I have a choice for you, Chelsea. We're going to have a docuseries battle here. So which docuseries, both sports related, would you rather watch? On ESPN, there is The Kingdom, featuring, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs and Taylor Swift. The director of the series says Taylor is very supportive of the series. And now, in the fall on Hulu, we're going to get a North Carolina docuseries that focuses on Bill Belichick and rebuilding that program. Jordan Hudson, if you're curious, not directly linked to it, but she has celebrated it, of course she has, on social media. So you go on NFL, NCAA, Taylor Swift, Jordan Hudson.
Well, let me make this clear. I am not choosing Jordan Hudson, but simply from a watching perspective, like, which of these teams do we know the least about? Like, I feel like the answer is UNC, because I think this is the trouble when they do these docuseries on teams the year before, because I'm assuming that's what The Kingdom is about. It's about the previous season, where it's like, okay, we already know the result. And it's not like the Kansas City Chiefs have been living under some rock. We're like, huh, right. I don't know anything about their star players. I feel like I know everything about their star players. I'm sure there are interesting storylines and angles that they follow that maybe I hadn't heard, but still, it just feels like one of those teams that's like, okay, I already know like everything there is to know about Travis Kelce. Been there, done that. So I think I'd rather watch the UNC one.
Oh, I take a wild guess for me. Of course I'm watching the UNC one. And also, like, all joking about Taylor Swift aside, like, the Chiefs, what am I going to learn about the Chiefs that I don't already know? Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe you get some sort of insight, and I'm sure you do. Like, I'm sure they go into the weeds a little bit, and you're like, oh, that's an interesting chemistry between Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Oh, there's Taylor. She loves her Travis. And maybe you get some of the inner workings of the locker room, but we know so much more about the Chiefs, about their stars, than we do about North Carolina. Like, we know Bill Belichick, but what do we know about Bill Belichick at UNC? Will his Hall of Fame career in the NFL translate to the college game? We don't know. We haven't seen it. We've seen more Jordan Hudson than Bill Belichick. Now, Bill Belichick, old Billy Boy, was feeling it during ACC media days. He was relaxed. He was talking to people about sort of the process and what it's like to work with younger athletes as opposed to pros. And then, of course, there's always the possibility that Jordan Hudson comes in and mucks it all up and does something crazy. So that's the one I'm watching.
I also think it will be interesting. I don't know how much she's in it. Their dynamic of their relationship. Because we've seen pictures of it, like them doing gymnastics on the beach. But I would love to see like the actual video of it, because I don't know how much of it is coached. And I'm not talking about Bill Belichick. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about Jordan Hudson doing the coaching for the Instagram pictures, because there's no way Bill Belichick thought of those ideas. Like, hey, sweetie, can we take this acrobatic picture of us on top of each other and post it to Instagram? There's no way that's his idea. So I would love to see this dynamic in motion, to see what it's really like. Because I think that's why a lot of people watch that New Heights podcast, to see the actual dynamic of Travis and Taylor in real life, because you can only act so much. And I will say, if anybody is media trained, it is Taylor Swift. But they had a great dynamic. Like, they did seem great together.
Mm-hmm. What if you watched Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick, and was Bill Belichick getting really into it? Like, all right, here we go. Okay, I'm going to do a backhand spring triple flip and try and nail this. Will you get it on camera for me? And you'd be like, oh, my God, it's Bill. He's the one who loves gymnastics. He's the cheerleading fan. I don't know. It will be. I think you're right, though. It is going to be, is this just for show? Is there really something there between them? Like, do they really get along? Is there some sort of chemistry that we're missing? Or is this just one big work from Jordan Hudson? Because that's what it feels like.
Right. It does. We're all a little suspicious. Like, whenever there's an age gap, I think we start with big suspicions, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when the older one has a lot of money.
Yes.
So you have to prove us wrong. It's like we were talking about the Bengals defense when they're like, oh, we're going to be better this year. You have to prove us wrong. No. You will not come into the building saying, oh, well, you need to believe us. No, we don't believe you, Cincinnati Bengals. We don't believe you, Jordan Hudson. You need to prove it to us.
Does anyone here want to make the case for the kingdom? Denton?
I have no interest. Patrick Mahomes, while he is the greatest of all time,
right,
is boring.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Because we know everything about him.
Exactly. When he was on quarterback, he was boring. He's too good as a player, and then the person, he doesn't need to have that much personality. He's Patrick Mahomes. He's a $500 million man. What does he need? He ain't making nobody laugh. You laugh when he walks in. You're like, oh my God, it's Patrick. Hey, I can hold some cash for you if you need me to, buddy. He's just boring.
Yeah.
Kelce, I think, is probably fun. I bet they have some other personalities on the team that are fun, but we know how this goes. You focus on the quarterback. When the quarterback is boring, I'm good.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think they're focusing on Rashee Rice. Or maybe they do.
Let's do 15 minutes on Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, maybe. I guess. Also, we posted a video about the Chiefs, was a few days ago, on TikTok, and I saw one of the comments this morning. I think we're finding out now that Patrick Mahomes is more of a game manager. I was like, all right, dude. Don't ever comment on football again. Yeah, you know,
what's
Patrick
your
Mahomes.
Definition of game manager?
Game manager, Patrick Mahomes. The game manager, I was like, dude, come on. What are you doing?
People say that about Tom Brady all the time. Like, there are so trolls on the internet who their life's work is calling Tom Brady a game manager.
I know.
Which, like, you know, you don't have to throw the ball 50 yards down the field every single play to win ball games. Because isn't that the goal of football? To win Super Bowls?
Yes, that's the goal. So many game managers have won multiple Super Bowls. Give me a break. So, as an aside to the whole Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons situation, I mean, this is the one big contract resolution that has not kind of, God, I know, it just won't end, just never ends. Like, it has not come to fruition. We keep thinking, all right, it's later in the season, this is what Jerry does. Well, now, Darrelle Revis has come out on X, and he is going after the NFLPA, saying that what Jerry is doing is technically illegal because he's negotiating around a certified NFL agent. Like, Jerry is supposed to talk to the agent and have these direct conversations as opposed to this private meeting he had with Micah back in March where they worked out the details of the contract, and Micah Parsons said that's not what happened. So Revis released a very long letter that in part says this: at the very least, the NFLPA should be saying it does not condone what Jerry is doing, and that if ownership ever tries to deal with them directly while represented, they should contact their agent and union immediately. Jerry's actions show that owners have no problem taking advantage of us. Every player deserves a union they can trust to protect them and support them. So coming hard after the NFL PA, and he was essentially saying, if we don't take care of this now, when the CBA is renegotiated here in a couple years, this will continue to be a problem. And I have to say, it's a pretty damn good point.
It's a really good point.
Yeah.
Like, in any walk of life, if you're in the entertainment business, if you're in sports, you go through the agent if somebody has an agent. And if they simply say, hey, you need to speak to my agent, you need to speak to their agent. That's what they're paying them for. It's similar, I would think, is like, you know, I haven't been in trouble with the law too much, but if you're like, hey, speak to my lawyer, they have to speak to your lawyer and not you. So I don't know what Jerry Jones thinks he's doing by, you know, bypassing the agent here. Because here's the thing, like, this is a big time deal. This is not a third string linebacker we're talking about. This is the face of your team, one of the faces of the franchise, and one of the biggest names in the NFL. Did you think we were going to sweep this under the rug? No.
That's when I fired my agent, when I realized the negotiating process was, we're asking for this. And the company would say, well, this is what we're offering. And my agent would say, okay. I'm like, I can do this. I can definitely do this. That happened like two straight negotiations, which I'm like, okay, fine. But if that's the process, why am I paying you? You know? So, I mean, in football, it's obviously much more complicated. But I think that whole process is pretty fascinating. Come up next year on the show. You better get in your favorite watches now, because it's about to be all football all the time. Streaming Corner next here on The Daily Tip.